You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
For our weekly catch-up with ACT this week, I spoke to ACT MP Simon Court about the party's opposition to the Let's Get Wellington Moving project. Let's Get Wellington Moving, a Wellington Council plan to overhaul the city's transport network with a focus on public transit and walkability, has received pushback from some groups of business owners due to fears the projects could have negative impacts. I started by asking Court what his issues with the plan are.
Well, ACT would love to see Wellington get moving, but there's some fundamental problems with the way the project's been put together. It is the worst transport program I'm aware of. The business cases are vague, they're full of flawed and baseless assumptions, and it turns out in one of the most recent business cases to justify lowering speeds to 30 kilometres an hour across most of urban Wellington. The business case has basic mathematical errors, double counting, for example. So ACT doesn't have any confidence in Let's Get Wellington Moving as a program, and we will cancel it and start again.
Is it more how the project is being carried out or the specific actions being taken?
Well, there are some major problems with what Wellington City Council has proposed to do to the Golden Mile, which is what Wellingtonians call Lambton Quay. It's because it is the premier retail district of Wellington, and what Wellington City Council has proposed under the Let's Get Wellington Moving program is to pedestrianise Lambton Quay and turn it into a massive bus through route. Now, as a civil engineer and someone who's done a lot of safety assessments, putting a whole lot more buses in a place where you're telling pedestrians this is your place has some really fundamental safety risks. And then we think about what it means to the retailers and the reason people even go to Lambton Quay to the Golden Mile. That's for the retail experience. And what does it take to make that better? Well, if you ask the businesses, they'd say that we can see the need potentially for some improvements in the amenity and planting, maybe some of the footpaths need upgrading. But to then ban private motor vehicles and to limit delivery times to very tight windows doesn't actually make it easier to do business here, and it's not going to make it easier particularly for people who are visiting doctors, lawyers, who are visiting other professionals. There's lots of dentists along Lambton Quay. And now for older people in particular, getting dropped off outside the dentist and being picked up, for example, if you've just had some wisdom teeth out and not having to find a car park 800 metres away, might be quite helpful for private motor vehicles to be able to access Lambton Quay. So, we think there's some real problems with what's proposed. It's not good for Wellington what's proposed. The council doesn't have buy-in from anyone except its own staff and a majority on council.
I want to push back against that because I think time and time again, by research and analysis of real-world cases, pedestrianisation and public transport projects like the one proposed for Golden Mile have repeatedly been shown to increase visitor numbers and business profits and general safety. For example, here, Auckland's Queen Street, the pedestrianisation of that stretch of road has been followed by an increase in foot traffic and visitor numbers. Why would preventing cars from visiting prevent this?
Well, I mean, it's interesting that you quote some data and statistics. I mean, I'll tell you what I've heard about pedestrianisation at Queen Street. So for people wanting to attend the Civic Theatre, for example, who could be dropped off outside, or to attend the Aotea Centre, who could come by taxi, currently taxis are banned from that section of Queen Street, north of Wellesley Street from the Civic. So, I mean, I don't know of any city in the world which bans taxis from your entertainment precinct, from your main theatre precinct. And, what I'm hearing, particularly from older people who want to come and go later in the evening, particularly in winter, if they can't get a taxi to drop them off outside the town hall, they might not come. And it's not just older people. It's also, well, why can't we have some flexibility for private mobility at the same time as get the benefits of making wider footpaths, better pedestrian spaces, and allowing for public transport? These things don't have to be exclusive. But coming back to the issue of let's get Wellington moving, I mean, we think about what's proposed. $7.4 billion is the current budget. That allows for light rail to the southern coast of Wellington, a place where the government believes 80,000 more people will live. It's on a fault line that is at risk of releasing such intense energy. It's quite likely to destroy any infrastructure in the corridor. I mean, they've already got Wellington Hospital sitting in that corridor, which is at a seismic risk. So, you know, ACT would say, what's the purpose of let's get Wellington moving? If it's to get Wellington moving, then simply deal with that basic issue, which is restricting traffic to the eastern suburbs and the airport. They need to put another tunnel through Mount Vic, and they need to reroute traffic around the Basin Reserve so that through traffic going to the eastern suburbs, public transport, buses, whatever going to the eastern suburbs and the airport, can have a free and unrestricted movement with additional road capacity, additional lanes. And if there's another problem to solve, which is, you know, the pedestrian realm of the Golden Mile shopping precinct, that can be dealt with separately. But Wellington City Council shouldn't proceed with it until they've got buy-in from the retailers and from the property owners. Because if they don't have buy-in, all that's going to happen is Wellington City Council gets its way. They spend 3 years devastating the site. You know, it'll end up looking like the Gaza Strip, 3 years of construction. And then they'll wonder why no one comes back. Well, it's simply going to be too difficult, particularly for older people and people with restricted mobility, to get there.
You can cancel the project, but the problems of population growth and increasing congestion will remain. You know, apart from adding a tunnel to Mount Vic and trying to reroute traffic, how would ACT actually address the issues trying to be solved with Let's Get Wellington Moving?
Well, I think the premise of Let's Get Wellington Moving is actually flawed. The population growth that's anticipated, particularly along the Southern Corridor, is entirely fictitious. It's not justified by any analysis or planning that Wellington City Council or Greater Wellington Regional Council have done. It's simply accepted that if they build a light rail to the Southern Corridor through Newtown, that magically 80,000 more people will turn up to live there. It doesn't stand up to any credibility test. But you know, Wellington is a city of about 250,000 people. It's a very, very small metro when you even compare it to Hamilton or Auckland, of 1.5 million growing to 2. And so the thought that you'd spend $7.5 billion on mass rapid transit, particularly hard infrastructure like light rail, for a city of 250,000 people, beggars belief. And you know what ACT would say is, look, if there's a problem to solve for Wellington, if it's getting people around the city efficiently, then build the capacity that allows it to happen. And the most efficient and effective way to do that is to build road capacity, because that has the most flexibility for public transport as well as private motor vehicles. And if we think about where Wellington is growing, it's actually the Kapiti Coast. It's in the Hutt, and those suburbs which are more affordable and which don't have all of those issues about how you get around a city built on the side of a hill and the side of a harbour 150 years ago, that actually is quite a small town. Wellington CBD is attractive. It's fun to go and study there and to live and work and be able to walk around. I mean, I spend 30 weeks a year there, so you know, I feel I do have some understanding about what it's like to be in Wellington. And you know, apart from the fact it's pretty windy and wild on some days, which makes it uncomfortable to be walking around outside, it's actually a really easy city to get around in. And so I think we just need to solve the traffic congestion problem separately from the PT problem, separately from the pedestrian environment of Golden Mile. If we were to separate those things and give them back to the entities that are actually responsible, Waka Kotahi for the state highway and for the tunnel through Mount Vic, you know, Greater Wellington Regional Council, you know, if they want to run buses through Wellington CBD, it's probably not the Golden Mile. They probably need to go down to the Keys, which is already 6 or 8 lanes wide, and dedicate a couple of express bus lanes down there and build the infrastructure down there. And if Wellington City wants to turn the Golden Mile into a disaster construction zone for 3 years, then, yeah, they should pony up with the cash and convince ratepayers and the business owners why that's a good idea, and if they can't, they shouldn't do it.
Would scrapping Let's Get Wellington Moving and restarting the entire project from scratch not be a waste of time and money?
Oh, none of this would be restarted. I mean, if you think about the Basin Reserve flyover and the Victoria Park, Mount Victoria Tunnel project, I mean, all of the preliminary work, including the geotech investigations, that's been done. I mean, it goes back to, 2010, 2011. So it's simply a matter of saying, well, who's going to take responsibility for planning and designating the corridor? Who's going to take responsibility for acquiring the land? And then who's going to take responsibility for the design and construction? And you'd say, if it's State Highway 1, that's probably Waka Kotahi or whatever future entity survives after a change of government, because ACT would not retain Waka Kotahi. We don't think they've been effective in their mission. But we do need a State Highways agency to deliver major projects like that because of their complexity, size and cost. And then if you think about, what is good public transport and mass rapid transit look like for Wellington? Well, the Greater Wellington Regional Council actually has obligations in terms of the Local Government Act to stand, and the Land Transport Act, to stand up a Regional Land Transport Committee, and for that committee to identify problems and plan to solve them. And if that means that they need to negotiate with Wellington City or the State Highway Operator about where mass rapid transit should go, then they should do that. And a lot of that discussion's already been had by Let's Get Wellington Moving as an internal alliance, but it hasn't actually helped move the project along because they've tried to conflate too many things. And you try to make the problem too big, it becomes too hard to solve, which is, why we have that expression, you try to eat an elephant one bite at a time rather than try to eat the whole thing at a time. And I think that's one of the reasons why Let's Get Wellington's Moving has failed, because they've just conflated too many problems and it becomes too complex to solve.
That was ACT MP Simon Court on his opposition to Let's Get Wellington Moving.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.